Today's scripture for the service is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and members of more than 7,000 branch churches in the United States of America, Canada, Peru, Honduras, Bolivia, El Salvador, Argentina, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Ecuador, China, Japan, Pakistan, Nepal, Indonesia, the Philippines, Taiwan, Sri Lanka, Malaysia, India, Mongolia, Israel, Egypt, Kenya, Uganda, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Gabon, Angola, Burundi, Rwanda, Nigeria, Tanzania, Botswana, Swaziland, Cote d'Ivoire, South Africa, Burkina Faso, United Kingdom, Germany, France, Italy, Belgium, Netherlands, Russia, Belarus, Ukraine, Estonia, Kazakhstan, Dagestan, and other countries. And the branch churches and local centers in Korea, members were attending this service through satellites and the internet. And all the GCN TV viewers. This is the 12th session of the sermon, Spiritual Love. If you love someone, you frequently talk about the person. Sometimes you talk about him more than about you. Have you had this kind of experience before? You don't care whether or not others pay close attention to what you say. You just talk about him proudly. He is wonderful, so loving, and so kind. In the same way, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you talk about the Lord many times. When you just accepted the Lord and received the Holy Spirit and had fervent heart for the love of the Lord, whomever you met and wherever you were, you spoke about the Lord. You earnestly and proudly talked about the Lord who gave you salvation, grace, and love. Also, when you received the Holy Spirit, you were humble at your heart and realized, I was a sinner. My Lord died on the cross for such an unworthy man like me. If you perfectly accomplish spiritual love in your heart, you will always have this kind of heart. You always boast of the Lord, and you are humble in all matters. On the other hand, if you are boastful and arrogant, it proves that you don't possess spiritual love. Many of you testify to the grace that you have received, and you spread the gospel and boast of the Lord. Also, many of you still love the Lord with the same humble heart, just as when you first met the Lord. You are actually becoming more and more humble every day. But through this session, if you find yourself is not as described, I urge you to decide to renew and surely change your heart. When you met the Lord for the first time, you confessed that you love the Lord and you spread the gospel. If your heart was continued like that, then you would have been the leader of the evangelization. Even before you knew about the truth, you were full of love for the Lord and evangelized so many people. If you had kept that passion, what would have happened? May you achieve greater love for the Lord. And as the Psalm chapter 44 verse 8 says, in God we have boasted all day long. May you gain lips that humbly boast of God every day. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as written in today's scripture, love does not brag and is not arrogant. First of all, what is bragging? The Cambridge Dictionary defines to brag is to speak with pride, often with too much pride, about something you have done or something you possess. In short, a bragging person tends to show off himself and to boast of himself. If you are better at some aspects than others, you want to brag about yourself. That's because you want to be revealed, recognized, and commended by many people. Some of you try to show off your wealth, including a good house and a good car. If you are a little better than others at education backgrounds, social position, and appearances, you are willing to express them. For example, some parents are pompous and boastful of their child who studies well. How do other parents feel about the good student if their child is poor at studying? Some of you may rejoice with them, but most of you have your pride hurt and have ill feelings about it. You may give your child a scolding without reason. No matter how good your child is at his studies, if you have even a little bit of goodness to consider the feeling of others, you will not boast of your child like this. You'll be careful not to hurt the feelings of others because of your boasting. If you love your neighbor, you will also want his child to study well. Then, when the child got a better point than yours, you will commend him joyfully. But those of you who are boastful yourself are so unwilling to acknowledge or commend others' good job. And you try to degrade the other in a way because you think that you are blinded as much as he is revealed. Therefore, bragging causes troubles. In this manner, the boasting heart is far from true love. You may think if you flaunt yourself, you will be recognized. But it just makes it difficult for you to receive sincere respect and love. The people around you will rather say that you are boastful and they will despise you and they will be jealous of you. But in boasting, there is one form that is good and proper, that is boasting in the Lord. As the 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17 says, "But he who boasts is to boast in the Lord." Boasting in the Lord is appropriate before God, and you can do it as much as you want. The boasting in the Lord is giving glory to Father God, not to you. Giving testimony is a good example of boasting in the Lord. Since the founding of this church, there have been endless testimonies to the healings of diseases, the solutions to the problems, and blessings at homes, works, and business. Through the weekly video presentation, Mommy Magazine, held on every Friday night, we have seen many brothers and sisters giving testimonies and glorifying God. All the elders, if you can receive blessings and testify to your blessings and help many people, how good would it be? A couple of years ago, from this altar, I harbored those two sons in my heart and prayed for them. And I told you that, behold, how they will receive blessing. They were not giving, you know, a good tithe. But their deeds were the deeds that Father God is pleased with. That's why I proclaimed it. Don't be jealous of this because I'm, you know, giving you this kind of testimonies over and over again. You have to bear this in your mind and cultivate your heart and spirit so that you can receive blessing from Father God. How can you receive blessing? It is written in the Bible. No matter how you are not educated, no matter how poor you are at some skills, if Father God exalts you, then you can be exalted. If God wants to make you wealthy, then you can be wealthy. That's why I proclaim that these two men would receive a modern blessing. Just like that, you have to imitate them and receive blessing and give glory to God. Well, that's the intention of saying these testimonies over and over again. So one of them was about like a 30,000 dollars, and the other man also confessed that he would be able to give $30,000 as tithe. It's more than $30,000, but $30,000 is not enough because it is just the beginning. Father God is opening the way for them, a door to blessing, because they do the deeds that is worthy to receive blessing. I hope that such people will come to this church like that. This is the boasting in the Lord. They lived by the word of God, and I believe them, because they don't have changing heart. That's why I proclaim that they would receive blessing. Just as I prophesied, they received great blessing and they are giving great amount of tithe. And their later blessing will be much greater than this. No matter how poor you are, if you truly love the Word and love the Lord and love to live by the Word of God, then you can receive blessing. And you have to listen to this testimony carefully and joyfully, because you want to receive the wealthy as well. How can you just say that, senior pastor is boasting of them again? Many people testify saying, I had no choice but to die and I didn't have any hope. But I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and started to live in a new life. I'm so happy to run the race of faith with the hope for heaven. Since the whole family are evangelized, and they usually confess like this, if I didn't know about this church, if I didn't know about the truth, if I had not known this church and the shepherd, I would have divorced to my husband already. But now, the entire family is evangelized, and they are happy at home. There are so many confessions like that. I met an elder's family today, and the elder said, I'm sorry, he is a pastor now. Now, the pastor said, my wife, my wife said she used to be persecuted very much. But then, he was healed, and she came to this church. And the pastor said he's never heard of her complaining or grumbling against the shepherd. There are many workers in this church that this pastor and his wife evangelized. There are many. So the pastor was boasting of his wife, that she never said any negative words about the shepherd. So, I said, she has unchanging heart. Now, they are boasting of their children too. But their children are standing on the rock of faith, a son and daughter are becoming a worker of the church and receiving blessings. So they were boasting in the Lord. So I was so happy to hear them. Before they came to this church, they argued with each other. But after they came to this church, they both were changed into spirit. And there is no argue. They made a great and happy family. That was their confession. In that manner, they boast of the Lord who saved and gave them the hope for heaven. Just as the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This kind of boast, no matter how many times you repeat it, Father God will be pleased with you because you will give blessing and hope for heaven. How thankful you are that you were doomed to eternal death due to your sins, but now have gained eternal life through the Lord who paid for your sins on the cross. Many of you testified that you have met and experienced the living God in your daily lives. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17 says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Just as it says, God has healed you of your diseases, given you financial blessings, and set your family in peace when you show deeds of loving and seeking God. Above all, you give thanks to Father God for experiencing the love of the God, having greater faith, receiving spiritual blessings, and so on. Your faith also has grown up while listening to this kind of testimony. In this manner, if you boast in the Lord, you can give glory to God and give grace to as many brothers and sisters as much possible, so that faith and life may be planted into their hearts. Therefore, your heavenly reward is piled up, and you can receive the desires of the heart all the more quickly. However, you have to discern between the boasting in the Lord and boasting of yourself. That's because you may sometimes seem to glorify God, but actually, you are found revealing and boasting of yourself. For example, when you receive great blessings or answers, you say, I give glory to God, outwardly. But you are quietly full of yourself, thinking, I've received blessings and answers because I am good and smart. Some workers confess, I've done everything by the grace of God. But quietly, they desire to reveal and boast so they can listen to the Holy Spirit and receive His guidance. They take credit to themselves. They seem to glorify God outwardly, but its fruits will be revealed because no one can deceive the works of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the result of boasting of themselves is revealed because of the accusations of Satan. For example, someone who was told to be faithful and to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit well suffers various trials and leaves the Lord when he feels nobody recognizes him. In this way, he may disgrace God. When you like revealing yourself and boast of yourself, the result is the shame to you. But why do some of you boast of yourself? That's because you have the pride of this life within you. The pride of this life refers to the nature of flaunting yourself according to the pleasures of this world. And the 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, 15 and 16 says, Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. From the world. They are not from the Father. They are from the world. The pride of this life comes from the love for the world. As much as you boast of yourself, you don't have the love for God. If you want to accomplish true love in your heart, you have to cast off the pride of this world from your heart. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter how many boastful things you have accomplished, you cannot live in this world forever. At the end of the passing decades, you will go to either heaven or hell. No matter many possessions you acquire on earth, none of them can be compared with the abundance of heaven, of which the rows are many. The rows are made of gold. The ground that you are stepping on is made of gold. All the big road, and the wall of New Jerusalem is made of gold. No matter how trivial, no matter how wealthy you are in this world, how can it become a reason for showing off? No matter how much wealth, knowledge, honor, and authority you have enjoyed on earth, if you fail to go into heaven but fall into hell, which of them can it be pride to you? Our Lord Jesus also says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 26, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Can you exchange with the money? Only by faith you can change it." Our Lord Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Likewise, the pride of this life can, pride of this world can never give you eternal life or eternal satisfaction. It will rather become a shortcut to destruction by provoking vanity and greed. If you realize this truth from the bottom of your heart and fill your heart with hope for heaven, you will receive the strength to pull out the pride of this world. When you get rid of all the pride of this world, when you will boast only of our Lord. That's because you feel more boastful of the glory that you will enjoy in heaven in the future than of the worldly things. I have many things to boast of in the Lord. But the pride, my pride, is with the Lord in heaven. I only boast of heaven and the Lord. Whenever I met someone, even when I was a novice believer, I proclaimed the gospel to him. And I showed them God is living, God is alive. I tried all my ways to plant faith in them. By the time no one knew about it. Even though I didn't go out to evangelize, I think, you know, I bear great fruit, which is number one in this church. I hope that in all the many elders will imitate me and follow me. You have to surpass me, right? Thank you anyway. Those of you who registered under my name, thank you. Therefore, may all of you throw away vain boasts and have the blissful lips with which you can boast of our Lord, who is our life, glory, riches, and honor. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the scripture says, love is not arrogant. An arrogant person doesn't consider others better than him, but ignore him, ignore them, and feel superior to them in all aspects. The arrogant person doesn't put others over him. He considers himself best. He despises, looks down on, and tries to teach others in all times. If you are like that, please bear this mind and change today. Change your heart today. He easily shows the attitude of arrogance toward those who seem less than him. He sometimes, in his excessive arrogance, disregards even those who have taught and led him, and those who are above in his position and in the order. He is not willing to listen to advice and rebukes that his senior gives him. He will complain, thinking, "My senior says no because he has no evil idea." Or try to teach your seniors, saying, "I know everything and I can do it very well." Such a person causes many controversial conversations with others, and sometimes quarrel against them. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 tells us, "But refuse foolish and ignore speculation, knowing that every produce quartet." Those of you who make excuses, the Bible tells you to get rid of those excuses. At the end of the coast, then once they got hot-tempered, they get together and fight each other. So, once there is a hatred and this kind of excuses, it makes all the people uncomfortable. How foolish it is to make an excuse and make an argue. One day, I had just one day to, in the Gethsemane prayer place, I argued with someone for all day long. It was interesting because we talked about the light mentioned in the Bible. It was nothing, right? We stayed up all night. He came to even my prayer place. I wanted to break him because he is going to be used greatly by God. But with that frame of the thought, he must be broken. That's why I made an argument with him. He is a doctor. Even though I'm a doctor, I have a doctoral degree in, pastorals, right? I have a pastoral degree. But he was the top student in his class. He was about to be a professor. But after he met the Lord and came to this church, he started to work for Father God's kingdom. Their parents wanted him to stand on the altar in college. But he changed his decision and came into this church. I'm not sure whether he's here, but their parents even said that they would blot out his name from the family register. So I told him to please his parents. One of the ideas was becoming a doctor so that he can give a pleasure to his parents. So while he was working, he studied on Saturday and he received a doctoral degree. I think everybody can receive the doctoral degree if you can work like him. But eventually, we didn't come to a conclusion. Since it was me, I didn't have any ill feelings. I had no arguments, even though we stayed up all night. But we didn't brought a conclusion. On the last day, Father God made a conclusion himself. Father God showed the conclusion from 8 o'clock in the evening till 11 o'clock at night. Father God, I mean, it was so windy that evening. There was so strong wind. So from 8 o'clock, it was full of clouds. The sky was covered with the clouds. And it was the day of the lunar day, the full moon day. But later, there was a hole in between the clouds. And there was no clouds in that hole. Even though there was a strong wind, the clouds stayed there for long, about 11 o'clock. I came out to cool off my body after the praying. Elder Choi and others came out. And they said, the sky was like this since 8 o'clock. So, the doctor and I looked up to the sky, and it was so strange. And at 11 o'clock, we came out again and saw that there was no change. Now soon, there appeared a football post, and the clouds went inside into the post. After seeing this, the doctor gave up arguing. So Father God, you know, gave us chance to, you know, persuade him. With the knowledge and the science that we learned, it is not in accordance with the nature's movement in the sky. Even though the whole sky was covered with thick clouds, around the moon there were no clouds. And at 11, just over 11 o'clock, all the clouds went into the football post like clouds. So who can explain it? By that time, we didn't have any video camera, so we couldn't, you know, picture them. And then later, he admitted that he has to break the knowledge. But there was a time for Apostle Paul to boast of himself. Even when you boast, you have to boast in the Lord. Sometimes when you do arguments, your hard tempers can come out. You have to try so hard to change others. If you cannot change them, then just give it up and pull back. If Father God had not showed such clouds, then the doctor would not have been changed. He has become a great worker of this church.
So 아니면 원수 맺고 등지고 이렇게
so,
삐지고 하는 거 보지 않습니까?
You have to refuse foolish
그래야,
and
그래요.
ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels.
부부간에 변론하지 말아요.
No, you should not quarrel between husband and wife, between brothers and sisters.
변론해가지고 서로 그냥 네 탓 내 탓 하지 말고.
That's why I have told you to realize how foolish and wrong it is to think you alone are right. Each of you has different conscience and different knowledge. That's because each of you are different in what you have seen, heard, experienced, and been taught. There is a wealth of knowledge that is wrong and improperly stored. But much of the knowledge is wrong, and some of it has been improperly stored. If that much knowledge has been handed within you for long, your self-righteousness and frameworks are formed that will become a standard to judge right or wrong. Human thoughts usually come from this self-righteousness and frameworks. That's why many things which you assert right are found wrong. But since you stored it as the right thing, you always insist that you are right, but others are wrong. But think about it. Others are thinking the same way you think. So both parties feel, you know, stuffed. Because both parties think that they both are right. If one of them is in goodness, then they will say, you know, let's stop. If the other is not stopping, then what should you do? Just keep on stopping, okay? That's why many things which you assert right are found wrong. Knowledge is the same and the science is the same. And medical science, everything. Father God's truth is always right. But the things of the world are sometimes right, but sometimes wrong according to the Word of God. In my case, no matter how severely some people beat me, I didn't even have bruise on my skin. No matter how they put a paper with the small letters in front of me, I can read it. Can you understand with your knowledge? I met people who make glasses, who produce glasses, and they said it's impossible. So you should not say what you think right is always right. You should not think so. Was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? I heard the news that there was an old lady. I think there is something. I heard there is something that you can apply inside your eyeballs. What is it? Anti-plumbing? I don't know what it is. I think it's quite strong. So she applied it to her eyeballs. I believe that, when she was sick with her eyeballs, she applied it and then she was okay. So she went to the hospital and then checked up. And the doctor said that her eyes are okay. But she has to apply that, anti-plumbing to her eyeballs. Now, the doctor said, you may lose your eyesight if something goes, if anything goes right. I mean, but even though she applies it to her eyeballs every day, I mean, her eyeball is okay, normal. Even though doctor said not to use it, she even said to the doctor that she's okay to use it. Even though you believe that what you think is right, there are things that what you believe right is not right. Some people said the red hot pepper doesn't benefit to your stomach. But nowadays, there are doctors who say that, you know, eating red hot pepper, spicy pepper, is good for your stomach. What should we do? So when you said something is right, that you have to think that it may be right or wrong. And when you talk about this truth, what kind of mistake can you make? If your mind is arrogant, you fail to recognize your faults but argue about them. This is the case of strong pride. If you have that foolish pride, then you cannot acknowledge that you failed. But you keep on insisting that it's not your fault. You have to get rid of such a pride. On the contrary, if you are humble, even though your position is right and the others is wrong, you don't argue. Why is that? Why don't you make an argue? You just wait and sit back. You don't try to press down the other. That's because to the extent you are humble, spiritual love to exalt others come upon you. You don't neglect others. That's why you just give up. If you really love the other, you try your best to exalt and esteem them without disregarding or triumphing over them. If something is not right according to the truth, then you have to try to teach him or correct him. But if he still, you know, insisting on he is right, then you have to sit back and wait. You consider him better than you from the heart, to whether he is poor, uneducated, or weak. And you will be considerate of even a child's heart. That's because you realize from the heart that the Lord bought all the souls with His blood and considers them as precious. And you also confess from the inner heart that if the Lord didn't meet and save you, you would be one of the dying souls and you are nothing without the Lord. And as much as you accomplish spiritual love in your heart, you will resemble the Lord's humility. Our Lord Jesus lowered Himself until He died on the cross and made Him a model of humility and service with such actions as washing the feet of the disciples. Even though the Lord was one with Father God, He behaved like He was a slave. Father God anointed the guiding pastors in United Missions. Now, some cells, they have changed. Now, after a cell leader moved to another in a parish, his heart is troubled. But many others are grateful. Most of the pastors are grateful for move to another parish. But some others lost their joy, even though they are not all. Then I would like to ask the one who lost the joy. Even God told Abraham to sacrifice his only son Isaac. even though the Lord has had to take the cross. What about Apostle Peter and Apostle Paul? They didn't care for the place that they would die a martyrdom, even though the Lord prophesied that they would die like that. According to their faith, comparing to their faith, you have to change. You have to check your faith and change. Even though you became a Sunday school teacher, you have to be delightful. You should be able to say yes and amen, even though you are called as a Sunday school teacher. This is true servant of God. As written in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. May all of you bear the humility of the Lord in your mind and treat everyone with humble mind. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you have showed such outward actions of untruth as to reveal yourselves, show off yourselves, and look down on others, you can find them easily. These are fleshly arrogance. This fleshly arrogance can easily be thrown away as you accept the Lord and know the truth. But it doesn't mean that you have completely cast off the nature of arrogance. So, as the time of your faith passes, arrogance may come out. So if you know that you are arrogant, then you will get rid of the arrogance. But it is difficult to find your arrogance. You can find that others are arrogant. But when you are arrogant, it's not easy to find yourself arrogant. That's why it is difficult to get rid of it. Some people made their own self-righteousness and frame. Now, some people make their own self-righteousness and frame after they come to spirit. They make their own self-righteousness frame based on the truth. So it's not easy to find such, you know, self-righteousness frame. Because they believe that they pray, they are faithful to everything. They become just like Job. Because Job took care of all the widows and orphans and do all the good things. Job didn't realize, even though his friends, you know, rebuked him. Just like that, you know, some people who enter the spirit cannot realize that they have their own self-righteousness. There are people like that. So, after you come into spirit, you should not make your self-righteousness and frameworks. I had the conversation with a servant of God whom you thought he is such a good pastor. He said he had prayed for 20 years for the thing that he was rebuked for by me. After 20 years later, he found that in you. And he said he is trying so hard to get rid of it. Now he said he got rid of them quite a lot. So when I had a conversation with me, we could have a conversation about that. He is a good servant. Everybody knows that he is such a good servant of goodness. Since he had such a self-frameworks, self-righteousness, he couldn't enter the spirit. He was rebuked 20 years ago. but he couldn't find it, so he couldn't break it. But now, he got rid of them quite a lot. There was a servant of God that he is such a strong servant of God. But God said, he is arrogant. That's why he is sick. You have to get rid of arrogance to become healthy. And he said, after I heard it from senior pastor, I started to repent and pray. And then I was healed of it right away. He confessed like that. Now he is very healthy now. In the days of beginning of this church, I explained about the deeds of the body. I mean, deeds of the flesh. Let's say, if you break the thoughts of the flesh, it would be so good because you can enter the spirit. Now, you hate someone, or you have adulterous desire for someone. For example, okay? At the second level of faith, since God tells you to get rid of such thoughts of the flesh, you try so hard to get rid of hatred, to get rid of the adulterous desire. But the harder you try, the more frequently it comes to your mind. So you feel troubled in your heart. Some of you are like that, then you have to realize that you are in the first level of faith, new believer. Even though you have lived long believing lives, if you have such a heart yet, then you have to realize that you are in the first level of faith. Now, you try so hard to get rid of it according to the word of God, then you can control yourself. Sometimes that mind comes up to you, like, oh man, I don't like him. Or sometimes you have adulterous desire in your heart, even though you try to not to think of it. It comes to you. But you can control it, some part of them. This is the second level of faith. You can control if you try not to think of them. This is the second level of faith. Now, if you go to third level of faith, in the beginning, you can control almost every. If you don't want to think of it, then those thoughts do not hit upon you. Now, when you try not to think of it, then it can be controlled. But it doesn't always so. Now, it's not gone completely. When you stand on the rock of faith, in the third level of faith, then when you not think of it, it doesn't come upon you. When you think, oh, I should not think like this, then the thought disappears. This is the level of faith that is on the second, that is on the rock of faith, in the third level of faith. If you don't control yourself and thought of it, then that thought comes up to you. Now, if you enter the fourth level of faith, then all the untruths will not hit upon you. So if you just decided not to think of untruths, then those untruths will not come upon you. Let's say you try so hard to think of them, but soon it will disappear. That's why you don't commit sin. That's why you don't condemn or you don't judge others. That's what happens when you enter the fourth level of faith. Now, even though I speak like this, if you are not men of spirit, you can understand it. Because no matter how much you try not to think of those stuff, it will come up to your brain. And sometimes you put it into action. You commit sin. Those men of flesh can understand what I say. But if you are standing on the rock of faith, the third level of faith, then, you know, they have already experienced what I explained. They can understand. And those who are men of spirit can understand me right away. If they think they should not think of something, then that something will not come upon them. Let's say you saw something on screen, then it's not stored in your heart. Once you say to yourself that it is not truth, if you come to spirit, you become like this. So how happy it is to become a man of spirit. You will always be full of joy and thanks. You will have peace in your heart. You will have no evil in you. Because there is only love, faith, hope. Since you don't have any thoughts of the flesh, Satan cannot accuse you. I hope that many people can understand it. But once you go to Holy Spirit, then untruth cannot even be thought of. You try to think of untruth. It may come upon you just 1 second. And then it disappears right away. That's why you cannot commit sin. Let's say you saw sky. That's not good. Then it's not stored in your heart. Even though you're looking up to the sky, nothing will be stored in your brain. If someone asks, what were you watching? Then that man of spirit cannot answer. Since they don't commit sin, those men of Holy Spirit cannot see, cannot hear, cannot think any fleshly things, any untruths. They don't even recognize the evil things at the fifth level of faith. How can you understand this unless you come into the fifth level of faith? How can I not recognize it even though I see it with my own eyes? You will say like that before you come to the fifth level of faith. So I changed it myself. I tried so many times to see the worldly things and untruths, but I couldn't think of any. So this is called, the fifth level of faith is called the level of Holy Spirit. So I explained these things from the beginning of this church. But when I explained it, people wouldn't believe it, wouldn't understand it. That's what I told those congregations. I believe those, you know, beginners, those opening members can remember what I said, right? Elder? Elderly? Okay, many people nodded. When you, you know, come to spirit and the Holy Spirit like this, then I can explain to you because you can understand. Now they can understand me. They may agree, they may be agreed with me that they cannot see those stuff. So once you come into Holy Spirit, you cannot commit sin. Because there is no untruth in you. Even an untruth will not hit upon you. No matter what you see, it doesn't make you guilty. You see something without using your thought. Can you understand me? If you don't understand, I think there are. I'd like to explain one thing, another thing. Quite a long time ago, I went to my hometown, riding on a train. Sometimes I sit on the window seat. I look out of the window and see farms and the farmers and green pastures and green mountains. I certainly looked out the window, thinking of my hometown and parents. Let's say I bypassed Chenan, Daejeon City. But even though I tried to remember what I saw, I couldn't. I didn't even remember what stations I passed. Why is that? Even though I looked at it, my thought was for the hometown and my friends and my parents. Like, what should I do with my friends? What should I tell my parents? I played with my friends. I thought of going out fishing. And playing soccer, football. And we looked up to the sky to see those in the stars, the sky. So I am so occupied with those thoughts. So even though I looked out of the window, I didn't even remember what I saw. I believe that you have the same experience. Now, can you understand? Even though you see something, since you are thinking of something else, you don't remember what you saw. Now, when you see something, you are thinking of the kingdom of Father God, or you think of nothing. That's why those people who enter the Holy Spirit cannot commit sin. No matter, even though they see something, it's not becoming a sin. I hope that you can understand it. Those who enter the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, can understand it because they bypassed it, but bypassed those stages. Now you can understand what level of faith you are in, right? In your long years of faith, you store much knowledge of God's Word and are given the titles and tests by the church and are elected for the presidents. And you may think as if you accomplish that much knowledge of the Word of God in your heart, saying, I have accomplished that much, I'm right. You may rebuke, judge, and condemn others with the Word of God stored as knowledge. And you may think you can discern right and wrong according to the truth. Once people come into spirit, when they see something wrong, they can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will say that judging can be done only by Father God. So you should not judge. So that's why those men of people cannot judge or condemn others. Among those in the people who are running for the presidential election, there is someone who is very good. And he never condemns others. He doesn't condemn or other, judge others. He just does what he has to do. He does not judge or condemn others. And the candidates for the president. I'm not saying that you have to vote for him, okay? A man who is not arrogant. A man who tries to revive this country. It is his job to be elected by showing what he has to do, not judging or condemning or gossiping about others. And I feel so sorry when Christians do such things, judging or condemning others. Some leaders of the church break the regulations and the orders that they must necessarily keep according to their own benefits. They definitely violate the orders of the church in actions, but they think, it's okay with me because I am in this position. I'm an exception. I do not neglect the order and the regulations of this church. Let's say I was told that someone needs to be an elder. Then I will always ask whether it is not against the orders of this church. So I have to check the orders of the church. If it is in accordance with the orders of the church, then I just give the elder's position to him. But there are some cases that some people break the orders and regulations. This kind of exalting heart is spiritual arrogance. It is comparatively difficult to find. If you ignore the law and order of God with exalted heart, but confess your love for God, it is not true. And if you judge and condemn others, you cannot be deemed to have true love. The truth teaches you to look at, listen to, and talk about only good things of others. As written in James chapter 4, verse 11, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against the brother or judges his brother. I'm not sure why the presidential election candidates are the Christians, but why they judge or condemn others. I cannot understand them. Speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. God clearly commands you not to slander the other at all. And the law is only a Father God. The problem is, he doesn't recognize he did. If someone has a trunk, in your friend's eyes, does the Bible tell you to point it out? After you took out yours, then you can point out others. Once you pull out the things in your eyes, then your heart will be filled with love and grace. So you have to discern it with love. How do you feel when you find the other's weakness? Please check if you judge and condemn, or merciful or petitious hearts goes ahead of it. With this measure, you can examine how much you have accomplished humility and love. I urge none of you to stay at the same level of faith, saying, I've accomplished that much. May you always lower yourself before the Lord like a child, consider every soul better than you, and serve him or her with the greatest love in which you can sacrifice your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, some unbelievers in the world say, I believe in myself, and do their best in every affair of their lives. But the world is not easy for them to overcome. After Adam disobeyed and sinned, Satan came to rule over this world, and the people lived their lives in pain and suffering. There are many problems in the world that cannot be solved with human abilities. Even up-to-date scientific knowledge and technology is useless before natural calamities, including typhoons and earthquakes and unexpected disasters. Now, the whole world, whole this earth is sick, even though the highly developed countries know it, but they don't try to take care of this earth. When the global temperature of this earth is getting warmer and warmer, many nature will be destroyed. The glaciers in Antarctic area and Arctic area will melt down. And they will lose great amount. They try to do it in advance. I mean, they try to prohibit the pollutions of the earth, but they just speak with their lips only. And how many kinds of diseases cannot be cured with modern medicines? But many people rely on themselves rather than on God when they meet with various problems. They rely on their thoughts, experiences, and knowledge. But when they are not yet successful and still faced with problems, they grumble against God despite unbelief in God. That's because of an arrogance dwelling in their hearts. Because of that arrogance, they don't confess their weaknesses and fail to humbly recognize God. They even misunderstand God. What is more pitiable is that some believers in God rely on the world and themselves rather than on God. God is love. He wants His children to prosper and to live in His help. But if you are not willing to humble yourself before God in your arrogance, God will not work for you forcefully. Then you cannot be protected from the enemy devil and Satan or prosperous in your ways. Just as God says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. You have to remember this. In a battlefield, when soldiers are at battle, those people who stand in front line die first. Let's say you try to destroy a castle. Now, the people in front will receive all the arrows. The people in front line are supposed to die.
In
When the Chinese soldiers invaded, they died in front. But those, there are so many soldiers, and they climb up and up and up and again. But humility goes before honor. The very thing that causes you to failures and destructions is none other than your arrogance. So this arrogance and humility is exactly the opposite thing. If you are humble, then you can become men of honor. And you will be greatly loved and respected by others. And you can be served by others. They will say that they can happily work under you. Conversely, just as Proverbs chapter 22 verse 4 says, the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Humility is the secret to all kinds of successes and promotions. You want financial blessing, right? You want to be wealthy. You want to receive honor, glory, and health. Then you have to be humble. You have to fear God. And then after you are humble before God, then you are going to receive riches, honor, and life. It's so simple. Just becoming humble and fearing the Lord. That's it. I made a mistake when I met that family that I told you before. Since they, you know, loved me so much from the beginning of the church, I made a couple of mistakes. I said, you know, there is two sisters, right? I was confused with who were younger and who were elder. I was confused. So I made a mistake. If I, you know, remembered a little bit more, if I gave it a little bit more thought, I could have remembered it. Because they have been here with this church since the beginning of this church. I can remember that they are they're in their 30s. I asked them, what year are you in college? I was confused who was elder and who was younger. The reason I'm telling you this is they look so young. The elder sister looks even younger than her sister. She looked like a college student. And her younger sister married. So the younger sister looked older than her elder sister. So they had, the younger sister had a permanent. So I just said what I saw. And then I apologized. I made a mistake. I was confused that you are college students. Sometimes it's okay to make this kind of mistake, right? Because, you know, the elder sister would be happier because, you know, I said, you know, that the elder sister would, you know, that the elder sister looked younger. And since I said, you know, they look like college students, they would be happier, right? So someone came into my room and I asked them, don't you think she looks like a college student?
Yeah.
Even though I made a mistake, I apologized that I made a mistake. I was confused that who was elder and who was younger. And I thought you were college students. I made a mistake, so please accept my apology. Now, why is it so difficult to say you're sorry? If you made a mistake, all you have to do is just say, sorry, I made a mistake. I apologize. That's it. Why is it so difficult to become humble? Why is it so difficult to serve others? I wish that you will humbly believe and rely on our Almighty God, full of love all the time. In order to rely on God, you have to lower yourselves and to obey the Word of God. May all of you abide in the Word of God and be prosperous in everything you do. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God deems the arrogant to be foolish. Compared to God, who makes the throne of heaven and the footstool of the land, how small is the presence of man? All men have been created in the image of God, and you are all equal as the children of God, whether of high or low position. No matter how many things you are boastful of in this world, the life of this world is just a moment. When this short life comes to an end, everyone will be judged before God, and you will be exalted in heaven according to what you have done before in humility. You will receive all the glory, honor, and everything. That's because the Lord will exalt you, as James chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. Since we love the Lord, since we love the truth, we can humble ourselves. Even though I had not accepted the Lord, I was so proud. I didn't, surrender when I was playing wrestling games. But after I accepted the Lord, I got rid of such, meaningless pride. If water stays in a small puddle, it will stagnate and become decayed, and worms will fill it. But if water insistently runs downhill, it will eventually reach the sea. But the sweet water doesn't decay. There is a member of this church who put the sweet water from the beginning, many years ago. But the water is still the same. So sweet water will not decay, I think. But some other water, but many waters become decayed, okay? In the same way, I want you to become humble day by day so that you can boast only the Lord and serve everyone. May you advance toward New Jerusalem, the most beautiful heaven, and draw close up to the throne of Father God. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Let's think over the message and pray together. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you for grace and love. Father, let your message become life and faith in their hearts. And let them understand what is truly the spiritual love. If they have exalted themselves, please let them repent. But let them become humble and let them not boast of themselves, but rather let them boast in the Lord. Let them not be arrogant. There is a fleshly and spiritual arrogance. Let none of them come into their hearts. Father, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. If you have spiritual arrogance, the chances are that you may be possessed by demons. I'm not talking about fleshly arrogance. If you are spiritually arrogant, then chances are that you may be possessed by the demon. There are some people like that who came to me. In 1980s, I drove those demons out by myself. No matter how many times I ordered, how many times I ordered the demons to leave her, the demon didn't leave because he had the spiritual pride. So some first servants of God, if you go out and try to drive away demons, if the demon doesn't go out, you have to look at his situations carefully, and you have to find the cause, and you have to solve it. When people are possessed by demons, they cannot make a repentance. But once, in just a short period of time, once he came to his consciousness, then you have to make him repent. Anyway, you have to find the way why the demon possessed someone, and the entire family should repent. I'll pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on the sick part of your body or the infirmities of your body and receive this prayer for the desires of your hearts. Hallelujah, Father. Please lay your hands on them. From head to toe and every intestine, the organs, nervous system, burn all the disease by the fire of the Holy Spirit, the most high power of creation. Please welcome them, transcending space and time. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I command all the enemy, devil and Satan, and the forces of darkness, go away. Let them healthy in spirit and flesh. Let them get rid of every form of evil. Let them unbound the bindings of hell. May the light come. Father, please allow them to be prosperous in whatever they do. Father, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.